William Franklin Billy Graham Jr. was born November 7, 1918, in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was the first of four children raised by strict Calvinists on a dairy farm. When he was 15, Graham heard evangelist Mordecai Ham speak about sin. The message connected with Graham. After high school, he went to Bob Jones College in Tennessee, transferred to the Florida Bible Institute, and became ordained as a Southern Baptist minister in 1939. Soon after, he met his future wife, Ruth, and later served as president of a Bible college in Minnesota. Roger Payne is the chair of religious studies at UNC Asheville. He says Graham became a well-known evangelist while working with Youth for Christ, an organization with many fundamentalist founders.
But Graham himself really moved very quickly out of that fundamentalist background and really came to embrace a broader stream of sort of conservative evangelical Protestantism. He was one of the first national Protestant ministers, for example, to allow Roman Catholics on the diocese with him.
By 1949, Graham had built a following. He scheduled a crusade in Los Angeles and received significant national attention from one particular newspaper chain.
The story is that William Randolph Hearst instructed his reporters to puff Graham, and so he became a national figure shortly after that time.
Payne also credits Graham's success with oratory execution and historical timing.
Living under the shadow of Soviet atomic weaponry, with the beginning of the Cold War, with the idea that Graham espoused a number of times that communism was a counterfeit religion established by Satan, all of those things really fed into a certain view of the world, a certain theology, a certain way of acting that I think really helped propel Graham into the national spotlight.
And if Jesus Christ had to pray all night, what about us? In 1958, with our race problem, with our problem of communism, with the problem of crime that is getting worse with every passing day, with all the social problems that we face in the world, and the personal problems, and the problem of sin, we Americans are not praying. We're not calling upon God.
That was Graham speaking at a crusade in the Charlotte Coliseum in 1958. By that time, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was established, and Graham had written several books.
You know, he's one of the great communicators of all time.
Historian and UNC Asheville professor Dan Pierce.
Some might characterize him as a salesman, but I think if he's selling, it was something that he, you know, definitely believes in himself.
As the crowds grew and the Crusades reached new places, Graham elevated to new levels of fame and wealth, something he addressed in a 2002 film about his life.
I despise all this attention on me. I wish we could publicize the meetings in some way in which my name were not used. I'm not trying to bring people to myself, nor am I trying to interest people in me. But I know that God has sent me out as a warrior on the five continents to preach the gospel, and I must continue until he gives the signal that I'm to stop.
But fame was an important part of Graham's efforts. It exposed him to new audiences and helped with fundraising. Graham's legacy includes TV specials and meetings at the White House. He met every U.S. president dating back to Harry Truman, a total of 12. A congressman arranged for Graham and Truman to initially meet. After a visit in 1950, Graham told reporters he had urged the president to fight communism in Korea. That ticked Truman off, and those two didn't meet again. Graham learned from that, though, keeping future meetings confidential. He struck a careful balance between religion and politics. During the Dwight Eisenhower administration, Graham was a regular White House visitor, where he became close friends with then-Vice President Richard Nixon. In 2002, recorded phone conversations between Graham and Nixon were released. In a conversation about religious relations, the two discussed Mark Tenenbaum, a well-respected rabbi who Graham was getting ready to meet with.
Well, the thing that you've really got to emphasize to him, though, Billy, is this anti-Semitism is more stronger than we think, you know. It's unfortunate, but this has happened to the Jews, happened in Spain, it's happened in Germany, it's happening, and now it's going to happen in America if these people don't start behaving.
Well, you know, I told you one time that the Bible talks about two kinds of Jews. One is called the synagogue of Satan. They're the ones putting out the pornographic literature. They're the ones putting out these obscene films.
Graham was 83 when those tapes were released. He said he didn't have any recollection of the conversation, but apologized for the remarks. Again, Professor Payne.
When the recordings came out and illustrated that Graham sort of had a dark side in that way with some of the anti-Semitic comments. I think most people were really surprised and shocked.
In his later years, Graham remained a public figure, but in a much more infrequent capacity. There were big parties to mark his 90th and 95th birthdays.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Billy.
Observers couldn't help but notice who was on the guest list. Historian Dan Pierce.
It looked like more of a partisan event than you would expect in some ways. And I think particularly the presence of Donald Trump and Sarah Palin.
In 2012, as voters in the state considered an amendment to the North Carolina Constitution, a letter from Billy Graham came out in support of banning same-sex marriage.
It was not exactly, I was struck by the fact that, again, speaking from a historical perspective, that it wasn't really characteristic of what I'd seen in the past from him.
In recent years, as Billy's son Franklin has led the organization, some say the association has aligned itself with the neoconservative political right. Franklin said the message and focus of the organization have remained steady. Scholars like Professor Payne say we will probably never know for certain whether what has been perceived as a shift in philosophy by the organization was driven by Billy or Franklin. Regardless of how the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has been viewed in recent years, the founder remained a beloved figure for countless people. His words provided hope to many during the best and worst of times. He spoke at the Washington Cathedral days after the 9/11 attacks.
I've been asked hundreds of times in my life why God allows tragedy and suffering. I have to confess that I really do not know the answer, totally, even to my own satisfaction. I have to accept by faith that God is sovereign and He's a God of love and mercy and compassion in the midst of suffering.
Billy Graham was 99. Jeff Tiberi, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.